Started. We've got several announcements we want to start off with this morning, and so Katie. After Katie is going to be Roland's.
Good morning. Drew, do you want to come talk? Okay. I still need your student ambassador packets. I know they're long. You good? Okay. I know they're long, but some of it's for the meeting. If you're still interested, you can still sign up. Campus visit day is being changed to October 13th, so you still have time for that.
Good morning, my friends. Just here to remind that this Saturday, the men's basketball team will be working the Razorback game, the football game. I kind of wanted to invite you all, if you need to catch up on your work hours or get ahead, you'll get at least 10 hours. So just multiply that by your hourly rate, and it's a good opportunity to make some money and hang out with these amazing boys also. So. It's kind of early, though. We have to be in Fayetteville at 6 in the morning already. So, but if you don't have much going on Saturday, I encourage you to get up early and go make some money. So.
Next up's Rosie. And then Hoover.
Good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing? Good? Are you guys ready for some soccer? Yes! Okay, guys, so tonight we're playing in Rogers at 5 p.m. and I expect to see you guys there. Are you all coming to the game? If you come to our games, we'll go to your games. Baseball, basketball, yes? If you don't care much for soccer, it's fine. This is a good time to come hang out with friends and support us, okay? No, we'll give you free water. That's all.
I got the address here. I'll be passing it around, okay?
Yeah. Okay, Hoover.
Greetings and salutations. Go ahead and roll tape, sir. You got it?
We come to this place to give you our heart.
Can you turn that up? Is that as loud as I get? These guys right here are called. We are called. They'll be here this Sunday night.
Let it be. Your presence is all that I need. Fill our hearts with your love.
That's enough. Just a little taste. That's enough! Little taste of what we're going to have this Sunday night. We are called. They were at the Dove Awards last year. They're going to be here at 6 o'clock Sunday night. We're going to have free pizza. You guys are invited to come out. We're going to try to have a good time, some fellowship. And they'll be here. It's a family group. So there's the gal, the bass player's a gal. I love to watch her play the bass because every once in a while, you know, she's so demure and just kind of very Christian-y. And every once in a while, the song will kick in, and then she just loses it. And it's like a member from Kiss or something. I don't know what's going on. But they're fun to come and watch. So like saved Kiss, not satanic Kiss. Okay.
Thank you. Are you doing it? Okay, one more.
Oh, hey, just want to say thank you guys for continuing to partner with those and who need prayer. You know, we have students with family and extended family in Puerto Rico. Want to continue to pray for them and uplift them because, you know, when one hurts, we all hurt. And that's a biblical truth, biblical principle. So we want to see God's love and presence and joy. And so in all of us, we're caring and standing with Alex Matlock in the gap. Past few days, we just want to give you an update and pray for him today. So,
okay, I'm sure most of you guys have heard about Alex Matlock. He's one of our basketball players. Thursday night, actually, crazy, kind of cool story. Wednesday night, he was baptized at C3. Thursday night, he enemy attacked. He had trouble breathing and everything. Was taken to the hospital. Anyways, was released the next day. But then this weekend, he had another episode when he was down in Fort Smith. And was taken to the hospital again. Found out he had an infection in his lungs. He said it was like a black infection the size of a golf ball. And so they had to go in and take that out. If they didn't go in that night, he probably wouldn't be here with us today. So it's just kind of a crazy, crazy story. But he's back on campus. He's in the dorm resting. That's what the doctors have said. This next week, he just needs to rest. He actually can't bend over. He has a cut in his neck from where they've gone in and everything. And so, sleeping is going to be an issue for him, along with some other things. If he gets to the point where he can't breathe again, they've given him an EpiPen, so he can just stick himself with that. The infection could come back, and so we just need to pray against that, and that he is on the road to recovery and won't have to deal with this again. So he's in the farmhouse, I believe, right? Yeah. So also he wants people to come see him, come say hey or whatever, but don't stay long. He needs to rest and everything. Also, if you're a dorm mate in the dorm, whether it's second story or first story, just be respectful, keep the volume low and everything, because rest is the main thing for him at this point. So,
great.
Okay. Let's pray for him. God, we just lift Alex up to you today. God, just as he's in this time of rest, God, Lord, we just pray healing over his body and his lungs, and just remove any infection that may be lingering. God, we just pray for complete healing in his body. God, we just pray for strength, and God, I just pray that this is be a time for him to press into you and to grow in you. Bring him through this week. God, just bring a word of encouragement to him. Jesus, I pray.
Lord, thank you for your goodness. I just thank you that you are the life giver. You're the life saver. Lord, we saw you answer our prayers sometimes hour by hour and day by day through this past weekend. And I rejoice today that Alex where he is. And I pray that as we partner in prayer and believe you, God, this morning for his healing and restoration, thank you for your touch on his life, the purpose and call that you have. And as he established before others and in the heavenlies his commitment and walk with you with baptism last week, I pray that he's going to walk in newness of life because you're the life giver and you have great days ahead for this young man, and we bless him in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, I wanted to say, if any of you are interested in getting baptized, if you've never been baptized, or if you didn't understand what baptism meant when you were 4 or 0 or 12, and you want to get rebaptized, I'd love to talk with you. C3 is a great place on Wednesday nights. I've taken students, we just go down over by Glenn's house by the creek here, and with a small group of friends, we worship we have a great baptism. If anybody's interested in that, it's a great thing because it's what baptism means. And if you want to just get with me after assembly today or through the next coming weeks, we'll talk about that. Yeah, licensing. If those who are called to minister, in actually about 3 weeks, October 19th, we have our Ecclesia Ministers Conference. So if you believe you have a call to minister the gospel, would like to be licensed, there's an application process for that. I'll be glad to talk with different folks. This is men or women, guys or gals, so we can do that, okay? So licensing doesn't mean that you have your life together necessarily, but you just say, hey, I want to obey God's call, and it may not be to preach, or it's something in ministry, help others somehow. we want to join with you and help you with that. So it doesn't mean you stop being a part of your home denomination or anything like that. It just means, hey, we recognize with you as Ecclesia part of your call and commission on your life. So you can talk with me about that too. Yeah.
It also doesn't mean that that's what you feel like, that you're being called to preach. I heard someone speaking the other day, and he said, when someone asks me what I do, I tell them I'm an ordained plumber. Okay? And so I'm hoping that as we walk through life, we recognize that every one of our jobs is ministry, everything we do. And so the other thing I'd encourage you is if you know someone that you think is maybe material for that, or has expressed interest, often it's hard for us to say, I want to do this, I want to walk this walk. But sometimes if someone walks up to you and says, hey, I want to encourage you to think this through, you know, I feel like you are material for licensing and ordination. Go to them and encourage them, okay? You might, I mean, and it's fine to go to JE and say, hey, so-and-so came to my mind. So be praying over it. There will be people from out of town that will be coming in who have gone through a process of mentorship and observation and things like that with other pastors who are part of our Ecclesia Ministers Conference. And they're not necessarily locally people because we started as a YWAM base. We've sent pastors everywhere. I think it's when I got here, there was a count of that we had people from Ecclesia in 107 nations. That's reaching, okay? And so these people that you're going to see licensed and ordained are not necessarily people that you know or that you've heard of or anything else, but they are people from Ecclesia, from some kind of a relationship with YWAM or with Ecclesia when we were YWAM, okay? So I hope that kind of clears it up for you. Next, we have a student here who is extremely shy to come up and share her testimony, but she's willing to do that, and willing is an amazing quality. Tiffany, I met over the phone first when she did her Christian Leadership Scholarship application interview over the phone long distance, and I thought, ooh, that is somebody that I think has so much potential. As I've walked along and just, I mean, we really haven't sat down and had long conversations or anything. We've had encounters in the hallway. I have checked out and researched her as much as a person can do on Facebook. And what I see is someone who could say truthfully, she never will, but she could say, follow me as I follow Christ. And so I want to hear testimony and a little bit about Tiffany's background. And let me also go ahead and say, we had a pastor that was coming in this morning that was going to speak. He had to have an emergency root canal, so he's not with us. So I immediately say, Michelle Luna, can you share your testimony? She said, no, but Tiffany Pate will. So that's how we came into this. But anyway, so Tiffany, come up here and let me pray with you. Thank you, Lord, for my sister, Tiffany. Thank you for the message that she has, for the choices that she's made in life, and for the path that she's traveled. Thank you, Lord, that she is such a blessing to Ecclesia. Be with her. Give her confidence in you, a boldness to speak your truth. In your name I pray.
Hello. My name is Tiffany, and I'm 24 years old. I'm from Coleman, Alabama, and if you don't know where that is a very country city in Alabama. I grew up in a pretty dysfunctional home. Both my parents were drug addicts. My mom started having babies when she was 15. So, I mean, when you're a baby having babies, like, things just don't, like, happen for you. You don't, like, know how to raise kids. And so, you know, things were really rough for me. My parents fought all the time. By the time I was 11 years old, my mom was in full-blown drug addiction. She was shooting up meth. My dad was abusive. He abused my mom physically, emotionally. When I was a little baby, he took my head and slammed it in the wall because I was crying. So it was complete chaos growing up in my home. When I was 12 years old, I tried to kill myself. I was in and out of facilities for trying to kill myself. Like, they had to facilitate me to try to keep me alive. My parents divorced when I was 12, and I didn't want to live with my dad because he was really mean. And so I stayed with my mom, and my mom completely fell off the rocker. She started practicing witchcraft, and she took me and my sister to Hot Springs, Arkansas. She stole a car, and we snuck into a hotel room, and I cried all night. I knew something wasn't right. I didn't know that the car was stolen, but the next morning I walked down into the lobby, and the whole thing was yellow taped, and there was police officers everywhere. And I ran upstairs and woke my sister up, and we took all the stolen credit cards, stolen IDs, stolen money, fake money, and we threw it in the trash can and left out of there. And the people that she had bought drugs from the night before, me and my sister met up with them, and we stayed with them for a week, and that was the first time that I ever smoked pot. We called my dad, and he didn't come until a week later, and I had never felt more broken in my life, because the whole ride there back to Alabama, my dad yelled at me as if it was my fault. He told me that I was just like my mom and that I was worthless, and it was in that moment that all of those things that he had told me had been engraved in my heart. And my mom got out of jail, and I left my dad's, and I went back with my mom, and I started drinking, smoking, taking pills. And I went and spent the night with one of my friends, and we snuck into a crack house, and I was gang raped by four guys, and I got put into the hospital, and I was there for a week. And it was there that I got hooked up to a victim service counselor who just came, and she sat with me that week, and she just poured into me. And she didn't tell me about Jesus, but she was somebody that was there for me. And I had never had anybody really there for me in my entire life, and it really meant a lot. And after I got out of the hospital, I went back home to my mom's house, and she remarried. She married this guy named Stretch from California, and that's where meth was introduced to our family. My house was chaos. There was parties going on all the time, and if I wanted to get away and get some peace, I would go to my friend's house. But that's when I became known as the school drug dealer. I would take meth and pot and pills and all that to school, and I would sell drugs, and I would bring people from school to my house and introduce them to drugs for the first time. And I became known as, like, the girl that, you know, your family didn't want you around. And I had tried to kill myself. I took 14 Oxycontin, 11 Klonopin, and a whole bunch of Xanaxes. And my sister went into the bedroom to check on me, and I was cold. I was blue. She opened my eyes, and they were crossed, and I had already used the bathroom on myself. I was dead. I didn't have a heartbeat. And they called the ambulance, and I was in a coma on life support for 3 days, and they finally revived me after 3 minutes of me not having a heartbeat. And the doctors had said, it is not physically possible for her to wake up and not be a vegetable. And when I was in a coma for those 3 days, I heard something singing over me, and it was like the most beautiful voice that I had ever heard. And when I woke up, I was mad that I wasn't dead, but I knew that there was something out there that was like a higher power. I knew that there had to be a God because I was alive. And after that, things just got worse. My mom, I walked into the bathroom, and she was shooting herself up in the neck with meth. And she asked me to pull the rig back and help her shoot herself up. And she said, okay, well, if you want to learn how to do meth, you got to learn how to do it the purest way. So she gave me my first shot of meth. And she dropped me off at a drug dealer's house and sold me for a gram of dope. And so I was with a 36-year-old drug dealer named Jeremy. And from there, I was his. I was his property. And we went from dope house to dope house. And I had to do what I had to do to survive. I had to do what I had to do to not be beat up. There would be nights that he would wake me up choking me. Like, I was hopeless. And there would be, like, everybody despised God. And I would go and, like, sit in the closet, and I would, like, secretly pray. And I'd be like, God, if you're real, I need you to show me. I need you to show up. Because, like, I'm lost. I don't have anybody. And I was about to do a gram shot of heroin. It was my breaking point. I looked across the room and I saw this Bible, and like I had the rig in my hand and I was just about to like kill myself, and something drew me to that Bible. And as I started to walk to that Bible, it's like I started to feel strength come over me, and I opened it and it was Psalms 51. And I don't know if you know what Psalms 51 is, but that's where David sinned with Bathsheba. And he said, I know my sins, they're ever before me. The sacrifice that you delight in is a broken heart. And in that moment, I said, God, I have a broken heart, and I need you to set me free. And I squirted out that shot, and I just started crying, and I read it out loud, and I looked across the room, and everybody in the room that had their rigs started crying, like, God showed up in a crack house. God can show up anywhere. He can show up in jail. He can show up in a crack house. He can show up in this school. And after that, you know, things got a little worse. I got away from Jeremy, but ended up getting back to him because I went to jail and he got me out on a bad check. And so there was one night this guy had bought me for the night, and he looked at me and I was bruised. I had bruises all over my body. I looked completely broken. And he said, if you don't get away from him, you're going to be another one of his tombstone babies. And he said, when he comes in here to pick you up, don't move. And so Jeremy came into the room, and he said, all right, let's go. I got my dope. Let's go. And so I didn't move. I didn't speak. I just froze. And he went off. He started smashing things. He was really mad. And our friend Heather, who we had been getting high with for the last month or so, he took her that night. And it was supposed to be me. Him and four other guys gang raped her, shot her up with heroin and meth, and she died that night. And when I found the news out where I was, I didn't have on any shoes. I didn't own any shoes. I took off walking, and like I was looking around for help. I was knocking on doors. I come up on a graveyard, and I thought I was dead. I was looking for my tombstone. Like, I literally thought I was dead. And I finally, like, I knocked on somebody's door, and they answered, and they called the ambulance. And the ambulance took me to the hospital, and they let me stay into the hospital for a little bit. And I turned on the TV when I was in the hospital bed, and there was a preacher. It was like the first thing that I turned on, and this preacher said, there is somebody that is under the sound of my voice who has been broken and hurt, and I'm here to tell you that you are about to hit the ground, and you're going to take off running, and you're going to be completely set free. And I felt that something was about to change. And that same victim service counselor that I had met up with when I was 14 years old, I got in contact with, and she sent me to Teen Challenge. I went to Teen Challenge on a scholarship. I didn't have any money, and everything was supported for me. And it was there that I heard the simple message of the love of Jesus, and God just came in. He scrubbed me from the inside out. And actually, my whole family uses drugs. My mom, I called her, and I said, there's this church we all go to. You can come with us. And so my family came to church with me, and I looked over like this, and like my whole family's sitting next to me, and they're all crying, and they all asked Jesus in their heart. So like, not only did I accept Jesus, but like my whole family came to church, and like they're sitting on the pew next to me, they're crying, asking Jesus in their heart. And then like my sister took me to Walmart, and here we are in the clothes section, she's crying, and I'm leading her through the salvation prayer. So like my obedience to following Jesus like led my family to Jesus. And when I graduated Teen Challenge, I went to this place called Master's Commission, where I learned discipleship, and I learned how to like be a follower of Jesus. I learned how to read the Bible and all these things. Actually, when I was in Teen Challenge, like the Bible was so interesting. I would sit at my teacher's like desk in the floor and just listen to her like read Bible stories. And so like I just wanted to know more. Like I had to know more about the Bible, about Jesus. And so I graduated Teen Challenge and then went to Master's Commission. And then my second year of Master's Commission, I graduated and my mom died of a drug overdose. That was a year ago. And it devastated me. Like, I was devastated. Her current husband called me at 3 o'clock in the morning the night of her funeral. And he said, I need you to come help me. I'm tore up. And so I went over to his house, and I opened the door. The stove's on fire. He's like, there's burgers in the floor all over the place. Like, he's strung out. And I was broken. I opened the fridge, and I drank a couple beers. And then next thing you know, I'm smoking ice with him. And, like, I sit in the floor, and I'm listening to, like, the old kind of music that I used to listen to. And, like, I was high, and I was about to do a shot of dope. And I looked at my arm, and I saw this scripture that says Psalms 51, and I just like it was that moment I realized if I go into this world again, I'm gonna die, and I'm never gonna know what it feels like to go enter the kingdom of heaven. And so like I left out of there. I was drunk, I was high, and I was driving to Teen Challenge, and I knocked on the teacher's door, or my old teacher's door, and I said, I need you to help me. And let me just tell you, if somebody is willing to open their door to you at like 5 o'clock in the morning when you're strung out and drunk, that's a good person. She took me up back on the back porch, and there was worship music playing, and I felt the Holy Spirit, and it was like God was sitting there waiting on me, you know? And we sat there and we cried together and we prayed together, and we sat there on that back porch for 4 hours. And she said, I feel like God is laying on top of me. Because it was like the presence of God was just so strong. And it was then I realized that all the pain, everything that I go through, I have to use that to go harder after God. Because going away from God is not going to do anything but put you into a deeper hole. So I graduated master's. I took my ministerials license and I passed it, or my ministerials test, and passed it and have my license now. And now I'm in Ecclesia. And so, yeah, that's my testimony.
I kind of feel sorry for the man that had to have the root canal this morning, because God wanted us to hear from Tiffany, but he'll come back sometime and we can all apologize to him then, okay? The Spirit was with us.
All right. Now, you know, everything is like a lab with God, okay? There's nothing academic. You know that? There is nothing academic, or just, I mean, there are many things academic, but there's nothing just academic with God, okay? So let's stand up, and if you'll receive, Tiffany's going to pray, and the same power, the same love of God, the life of God that's touched her is going to, can, or maybe it's already touched you already through this morning, and you're sensing it, and you say, God, all you got to say, yes, God. This is going to say, okay, God, let's do this, okay? She's going to pray. We're going to join her in prayer. You're going to pray for us. Okay, and so as you believe, as Scripture says.
Father God, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus. God, I just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, for each and every person, Lord, that's in this room, God. Lord, I pray for everyone who doesn't know you, God. Lord, everyone that's having a hard time hearing your voice, God. I pray, Lord, that right now, God, you would show up for them and you would show them, God, that you, God, are a God that is with us. You're a God that speaks. You're a God that walks with us. I pray, Lord, that you would grab their hands, God, and you would walk with them throughout their day, God. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that they would encounter you, God, that they would encounter your love, God.
I pray, Lord, for everybody, Lord, that knows you but doesn't understand your love, that hasn't grasped that you are a God of love. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just wrap your love around them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, that each person that's struggling with addiction, with alcoholism, God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would break that in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that the next time, Lord, that they go to drink, Lord, that you would show them, God, that it is only leading them to destruction, God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would go with them the next time they go to take that drink of alcohol in the name of Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just convict them. God, for the things that they don't feel convicted about, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would soften their hearts in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that they would understand that you are a God of love and you only want the best for them, God. In Jesus' name.
All right, if God's touching you and stirring you, and you say yes to that, Lord, whatever it is, God, Lord, just if there's things to lay down, I just pray that you just lay those at the foot of the cross right now. Scripture says, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." All things becoming new. God, I believe you for that word. Thank you for your truth and your goodness and deliverance and freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, be seated. Now, I think, encourage you, the Lord can keep stirring things. I mean, you may feel something emotional right now, you may not. But it's just that, say, God, just agree with God. Say, God, here I am. Let's go forward. Got anything to say, Matthew? You have anything to say? Just think on it. Anyway. But the thing is, tell somebody what's going on, okay? Tell your roommate, tell your mentor, speak and get into agreement with somebody about what God's doing in your life right now, okay? Don't just hold it to yourself, okay? We're in this as a family. This is good, and this is so good. Anything? Okay. Thank you. So, again, if you're, I'm sure if you want to go to one of these two, if you've walked through something similar, or even it's like, oh man, my story is like so small compared to that. I mean, go to one of these two. I'm sure they'll be glad to pray with you or find someone to help. If you need help out of some addiction, we're here to do that. Okay? Christianity is messy. I don't know. I mean, it's not. I mean, you're not going to find a perfect place, a perfect church. You're not. But Christianity is messy in the sense that, hey, we're going the same place, but hey, there's good coming and it's good around us. Liz. All right. Okay. I mean, my goodness. We're dismissed, and what a treasure! What a great day. Good to see you.